Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth. Hey, everybody. Our goal has always been to provide you with a solution to addiction that doesn't require you to go to rehab, do any steps, or go to meetings.
Or even be stuck on MAT regimens for the rest of your life either. We built a workshop that we did last week and the week prior. We did four of them, and we picked the best one for you. And so it's a 2.5-hour workshop. It's called The Solution to Addiction, and it's amazing. We cover how to deconstruct your binge construct, why you do the things you do, because that's one of the questions we get all the time. Why do I keep doing this? And we give the answer for that, and yes, we give the solution, a way out, a path out that makes sense.
Absolutely. When you get the Solution to Addiction course, we now have it as a course, and you can go right to thefreedommodel.org. It's right at the top. It says The Solution to Addiction. When you get it, you also get the Solution to Addiction book that we just wrote and the accompanying workbook, and you get the Freedom Model for Addictions book and the Freedom Model for the Family as well within that course module.
Yeah, so you literally have all the information, plus we teach you, and it's a really empowering, powerful course.
It is. So go to thefreedommodel.org or go right into the Freedom Model mobile app, and you'll see that if you hit, I think, the Discover, you'll see that we have the Solution to Addiction there for you.
All right, everybody. Take care.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Addiction Solution. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran. And we wrote The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap.
And The Freedom Model for the Family.
That's right.
And now we are in the process. Mark is deep in writing the solution to PMO and sex addiction.
That's right. So it's another version of the Freedom Model. So what's happened? Oh, and let me give another little tidbit. We're going to have a workshop, a 3-hour workshop. We're going to have four of them. They're going to be live events. And this is for PMO and sex addiction as well. So look out on our social media accounts, and we'll be sending out emails to everybody that's got the app. And you can join us live. And there's going to be Q&A sessions in that workshop. And one of the workshops is going to be recorded. Now, your identity is hidden, but one of those recorded workshops will be a product that we'll have, a workshop yep. product for people.
Yep, and it'll be over the next few weeks that we're going to have those live workshops.
So we'll be sending you some emails, notices about this as well. It'll be all over social media. And we also just created a Facebook group.
Private
for the PMO and sex addiction crowd that's interested in the Freedom Model solution for that, which is going to separate out PMO from the substance use conversations because they get muddled, because there's nuances that are very specific to substance use, and then there are nuances for the sex issues and PMO issues that are
they're a little different.
Yeah, they are a little different because they're different issues, right? The principles and the Freedom Model works for both, but certainly there's nuance and different audiences for sure. Yep. So look out for in Facebook that new group. We just created it.
Yep. And it's called, if you're going to look for it, it's called the Freedom Model for PMO and sex addiction group, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Very, very, very simple.
Yep. Very simple.
Okay. So today we're going to talk about what?
We are going to talk about, well, the vast differences, right, between solving your problem with the Freedom Model, right, and
going, being in recovery. Like, why would anyone choose to struggle, right? A lifetime of struggle, a lifetime diagnosis of addiction, identifying that way. Why would anybody choose that when the reality is you can solve your problem and move on?
Yeah. So we say this, and people, if you haven't gone through the Freedom Model, you haven't read the book, studied it, you may not understand what we're talking about. So I'm going to tell a story. I'm going to tell a story about a fella that I've been coaching now. He's had 6 sessions. I got to be careful not to say his name.
I will delete it out. Okay. I will edit it out.
It's hard to talk about something. Does. Yeah. Without saying their name. I'm going to call him Bob, just because it's easier that way. I have a name. So I was working with Bob for, he signed up for 12 to 14 sessions, the full coaching program. And we kept getting stuck on this exercise that I do, where I teach that there is no objective magic in substances. No, it doesn't have an ability to benefit you in mental ways. It doesn't have the capacity to be like a force, right? That can take away stress, take away anxiety, help us escape, and those sorts of things. We talked about that endlessly on the podcast here. But when you get somebody who is drinking every day,
yeah,
or goes on these long benders, and he said to me, I said, how much do you value Tito's? And he said, I think it's gold.
Yeah, I said, it's pretty high value.
I said, that's, he goes, I do. When I go to the grocery store, I think it's gold. And immediately I knew what that meant. That meant that was going to be a pretty in-depth coaching process. Now, sometimes people come to grips with the fact that it's not gold relatively quickly, even when I think it's going to be difficult. But a lot of the times when I hear that, and I know that they're drinking every day and to the point where they need detox, that sort of thing, it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. To get them to understand that they can move past it, and that it's not gold, that it's not this valuable thing in their life. And so we kept doing the same identical class. I said, listen, Bob, we're going to do the same class every single week, and I'm going to say the same things in different ways. And essentially, it's this process I do with people, very specific process with an exercise that I give them for homework, where they have to write down certain things in a certain way. I can't go through all of that here because it would take too long.
A little bit different for each person. Well,
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's very, very nuanced, and the context is developed for that person and their binge construct. And he had also watched the workshop, the 3-hour solution to addiction workshop. So he watched that, he did the masterclass, he did everything. And then I just kept repeating it in various different ways that there's no magic, essentially.
And the added challenge, I just want to add, there's an added challenge when you're working with somebody that's a maintenance drinker.
Yeah.
So you know they're under the influence when you're having a session with them.
So what I did was I timed our schedule for the time period where there would be the first nip of withdrawal and the first drinks to get rid of withdrawal was when we had class, because he was going to drink, but I had to have the most sober time with the least amount of withdrawal present.
Exactly.
And so he was doing the classes, and he's like, because he's got a slow processor, you know, and he's pretty sick, it was very difficult, but we stuck with it. He stuck with it. He never missed a class and a session, and it was awesome. So we get to the 6th time, and that week I told him, I said, listen, this is going to take forever. And I think you should come and do CASP with us, which is where me and Michelle teach him. I said, I think you should do detox and then drive down here from your state and get started with us. Because if we don't break this cycle, I don't think we can finish this up in 12 to 14 sessions. And why not use the credit?
Over the same stuff over and over again, and there's really no break in it.
Exactly. So So it was really interesting. There's a point to this. Just trust me that there's a point to this that's really important. Really important. So he decided on his own he was going to detox himself with another fella who was going to help him detox at his other home. He had two homes, which was pretty wild. I didn't advise that. I advised the hospital, but whatever. He did it. He got through it, comes to class, did the assignment, wrote it all down, and came to class, and he didn't have to do CASP. He didn't have to come and see us because it clicked.
Sometimes it happens this
way. The emotional understanding and the intellectual understanding came together, and he was so excited. I had never seen anything like this in all the years doing it, not to this level. I've seen it actually now I think about it, but it was just so awesome. He was like, I get it. And he's on Zoom with me and he said, you know, there's nothing to do. And I said, exactly. He goes, I don't need recovery. I don't need to replace it. I don't need to feel deprived. There's nothing to do. I just had to change my mind and know that Tito's doesn't have magic.
Right. It's not gold.
And he goes, it's meaningless. And he sat there and I said, do you know what this is? This is where he goes, well, let me back up. First he said, is this going to go away? Like, is this going to go away? I said, no, it's not good. You can't unring the truth bell.
Right.
It's like the first time you have a relationship with somebody and you finally see who they are when you're a young person, it's your first love. And then one day you see them for who they actually are and you're totally disillusioned and the relationship breaks down and it's no longer meaningful to you. That's exactly what happened to him. He was like, I don't need it. And he kept pointing to an instrument. He's like, I'm going to go play that. And I haven't played that in 4 years. I can't wait to get back in the band. I can't wait to do this. I can't wait to do that. And he goes, but more than that, Mark, it's just, I don't have to do anything. I thought I had to distract myself for the rest of my life. And he goes, I don't have anything to run from because the disco ball is shattered, like you talked about in the 3-hour course. He goes, but until I did the exercise where I wrote down the two columns and did your exercise, separated everything and saw it for what it is, I couldn't get there. And so basically we simplified the process on paper to figure out what is real and what isn't real when it comes to booze. And it's an exercise I do with people with PMO, with all kinds of issues. It's a really cool exercise, but you got to work up to it. And so he doesn't have to do anything. So the recovery is all about doing things.
Well, I think that that's probably the greatest challenge when we get someone. And I just talked to somebody today who is, has been in AA for the last 5 years and will be doing coaching with me specifically to move on with her life, right? Specifically, she's like, you know, something just started really bothering me about this whole recovery idea. And then I found your podcast. And it's the difference between having this belief system that my preference for this is never going to change. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to just keep it at bay. The best I can hope for is to keep it at bay. And even people that are going to meetings and that are maybe not even going to meetings anymore, but consider themselves as addicts in recovery, there's always something in the back of your mind that's like, you know, I might just go back to that. I might just go back to that.
Yeah.
Right. You always have this, maybe whether it's low level or high level, but there's always anxiety there that substances are waiting to take over your life again. Like there's this some kind of life to them. Like they are a force that's trying to destroy you.
Yeah.
That whole belief system is when you unplug from it, like he did, like Bob did. And you start to see it, you're like, you can't imagine how you ever believed it to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's amazing because, me and Bob were talking, and I've had this conversation with all kinds of people through the years that have this revelation. It's not really a revelation. It's understanding.
Yeah.
It's an understanding. When you understand objective truth about any topic, when you no longer are coloring a situation with your narrative or the narratives of others, all of a sudden you're able to see things so clearly.
Yep.
But sometimes getting there is an ugly process, like a bad marriage.
Yeah.
Right. And when you finally get that divorce and you say, wow, this is the end and I'm okay with that, you know, and that's when your emotions and your intellect match along with your values and you move forward in a completely different way. Well, Bob had asked me, he said, is this what happened to you when you had the car accident and you quit drinking? Or was it the car accident? I said, it was never the car accident. It was never crashing a truck. That's not what made me stop drinking. It was all the months prior to that, that I was doing the same exercise I gave you. I was sorting out whether, you know, bourbon whiskey had power to solve issues. And I don't think I framed it that way because I didn't have the freedom model, but right. I was figuring out this isn't working. And even when I'm drunk, I'm not happy.
Right.
So, and even in the first three drinks, I wasn't happy. Going into the experience of drinking that day, I wasn't happy. The expectation was getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And then Bob jumped in and said, yeah, that's it, man. Before I even bought the bottle, the expectancy was skyrocketing high. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. And then he goes, but then when I did the exercise you taught me, I said, oh my God, there's nothing here. There's nothing here. There's nothing exciting about this bottle that burns down my throat. And, you know, and so it's a little more complex than that. The whole exercise is more complex than that, but it's illuminating. So you can come to grips with this. Everybody does that drinks and drugs eventually comes to grips with. There's not any magic here.
Well, you kind of open your mind or maybe start questioning. You start critically thinking about your belief about the substance. And, you know, you kind of think, oh, maybe this isn't what I thought. Maybe all of the marketing that I've seen all these years. I mean, you don't articulate it that way in your mind, but you start thinking that's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not having more fun.
Right.
I'm sitting here by myself ruminating on my old boyfriend who the truth was an abusive dick, but I'm ruminating like I'm missing something out on something, getting drunk, and thinking that it's helping me.
Right.
You know? Right. So once you just kind of, I don't know if it's like lifting a veil of nonsense, you start thinking critically about it and opening your mind. And I watched a recent coaching student do this with me over three coaching sessions, yeah. Right? Yes. Where just starting to allow for the possibility that all these years I've built alcohol up in my life so much so that I'm sneaking it and having these little windows of opportunity and pounding it and it's giving me a stomach ache. But I built it up and I'm like, you know, when she said to me, she goes, I found myself doing that. And I stopped and I was like, really? What am I doing?
Yeah.
Am I doing this?
Yeah. You're following a narrative that it's this powerful, beneficial, needed, necessary thing for my happiness. And who wouldn't hammer it down if that was the case? If there was some passive way, drinking is fairly passive. It's not like you're going out and getting a career on drinking. You're just passively doing it, you know? And if there was some passive way to receive magic from the world, everybody would do it. And that's the promise. That's the promise of drugs. That's the promise of the Corvette. That's the promise of naltrexone. That's the promise of whatever they're marketing.
Yeah, you're being fed. Fill in the blank.
Yeah, you're being fed nonsense. And then here's the wild part. Once you're fed the narrative and you take it on yourself, Now you're a victim of your own bullshit, your own fantasies that you stack on top of it. That's why in the workshop, we call it fantasy stacking. You just stack one fantasy on top of another, on top of another, on top of another. It's the fantasy about the booze. Then it's the fantasy about ruminating on whatever while you're drinking the booze. And then you add the fantasy of, it used to be fun when I was a kid, and you ruminate and romanticize how awesome it was by the bonfire when you were 13, and that you'll never have that back. Then you romanticize being depressed and miserable.
Yes.
Right? Now you start adding value as if being this lost alcoholic has some value and becomes your identity. And this is who you are. And you no longer have responsibilities because you're such a fuck up. Right? So then that becomes valuable to you. I mean, it can be anything. It's wild. It's wild what we do to ourselves.
Yeah.
But here's what the best part is. So now if you go into recovery, none of the objective truth is ever touched because recovery is dependent on everything being physical. Let me explain. It's centered on your brain. It's centered on your environment. It's centered on the effects of booze, the physical
powers
aspects
of them.
And then it gets into, you know, that it's all this magical stuff on top of that. And never does anybody say, what do you think in your mind about all this? How are you interpreting that experience? So in recovery, because your mind is not in the equation as part of the solution, you aren't.
Right.
You aren't part, because you are your mind, you are your thoughts. So you're taken out of the equation, and now you need to just blindly follow recovery. So when you're blindly following the magic of booze on one side, now you're blindly following the ideas of the recovery society over here, and neither is solving the issue. It's all nonsense. It's a charade.
Yeah, you become completely dependent on outside entities to solve a problem that you are, the only way to solve it is through your decision-making and your mind, right? So it can't work. So what you're doing is you're basically kind of just kicking the can down the road, waiting for something outside of you. Now, here's the good news about that, though. Eventually, even in that system, people figure it out and move on.
They do. It's
right?
such a waste of a decade or two.
Exactly.
Fucking around with the diversion that there's something you need to be doing.
Right.
Physically. You know, going to meetings, trucking over here, talking to my sponsor, making amends, living a spiritual life. Am I perfectly spiritual? Going to my therapy, going to relapse prevention classes, all of this stuff. Meanwhile, the solution is you.
Yeah.
You're ignoring you.
Yeah.
And so what Bob discovered was, oh my God, it's what I think about booze.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. It's always been that.
It's the entire belief system, the rituals that I have surrounded it with. I put it up on this pedestal. It is my queen, so to speak, right? It is. I worship it. And for what?
I told him, I said, listen, Bob, what you have to do between every class is memorize. This is my interpretation of a physical sensation. Because if you can get that, interpretations happen in your mind. You're interpreting a physical sensation in your body, and then you're interpreting it as magical when it's not.
Yeah.
So you can change that interpretation to become meaningless. That interpretation of booze is meaningless because all it is a physical burning, increased heart rate and blood pressure, ears get hot, pressure behind your eyes, and your acetaldehyde poisoned.
So, you know, what's interesting about this is when you go to 12-step treatment, which most treatment in this country is based on the 12-step program and the premises from it, right? So when you go into treatment, what they're asking you to do is stop worshiping alcohol or drugs and start worshiping the group.
Yeah, that's it.
Right?
That's it.
You're never going to like solve your problem. You're always going to want it. This person I talked to today said that her sponsor was 40 years sober, and they went to a meeting together, and it was an anniversary meeting, I think she said, and the woman spoke and basically said, I want to drink more today than I did 40 years ago.
My God, that's so sad.
And she said, that's when I was like, holy shit, I got to get the fuck out of here because I'm not doing that. And I had that same experience with Bob at that AA meeting when he talked about, you know, I'm this far from a drink. So at 5 years sober. And so that is what recovery is about. And that is what they have to offer is everything remains intact.
Yeah. So your binge construct remains completely intact. Not only is it intact, like all the benefits that you think you're getting from it, it's built up.
It's built up. And
it's built up into this diabolical agent of doom and pleasure.
And it's getting stronger because that's what she was told. The longer you're sober, it's doing push-ups, right?
Yeah, it's progressing without you drinking. The disease is progressing. It's so crazy. It's so crazy. But that builds that drug.
It sure does.
And then the more they build it up, the more you need the meetings.
Yeah.
So recovery is a massive diversion from you looking inside yourself with common free will and problem solving and asking yourself the value of that experience, like you do with any habit in your life.
Yeah.
Could be the habit of riding a bicycle. Suddenly you reevaluate and you say, I want to drive a car instead. Yeah. Right. And you move on. You don't look at the bicycle anymore. But what they do is they say in recovery, oh no. You'll always love that bike. And people like you, they don't get the car. You're not a normie.
Right.
You got to stay on that bike, or you just got to avoid the car. You got to avoid, don't get too crazy with the car. Don't move on. That's a pink cloud. You got to come over in these meetings and just stay focused on the fact that that bike is going to be something you always love.
Right.
I mean, think about how crazy that is. But it's a diversion. Meanwhile, you're thinking, why can't I just go get in the car?
Yeah.
I think I'm ready to get in the car. No, you're not ready. That bicycle is the most diabolically amazing thing ever. It is? Well, think about it. You always loved it. Yeah, I kind of loved it between 14 and 16. It was fun. It was freedom.
Got me around, right? Yeah. I got to go see my girl.
And so what happens in recovery is you start to rewrite your experience with that bicycle as the only thing that was ever important in your life. And now the only thing that's important is concentrating on the fact that that is the most important thing.
Yeah.
And so now you're in meetings talking about that thing, building it back up and endlessly regurgitating these experiences about you on the bicycle. Do you see how insane that is? How weird? Well, it keeps you in recovery and you keep shelling out the dollar, the $20,000 to the rehab, the $10,000 to the detox. And you keep going back to the bicycle because they tell you, yeah, that's all you're worth is what you did in the past.
So here's what I want to say. I always say, here's the thing. And now people have recognized it. And I said it in a coaching session. She's like, I love when you say that. So now I'm self-conscious about it. But anyways.
That's what happens.
Here's what I want to tell you about this is you don't have to. Why would you choose to stay in a model that keeps you chained to your past, that keeps you anxiety ridden about inanimate objects,
right,
and personifies them to these evil entity status, but at the same time also gives them magical powers to solve all of your ills, right? To help you to escape this world.
When you're clearly not.
When that isn't the case at all. When really you've got this other way of thinking that literally will allow you, I said today, that will allow you to be quote unquote normal, whatever that means for you, right? For me, what that means is I don't, like, I'm not self-conscious when I'm around people using substances, okay? I'm not self-conscious even a little bit. It doesn't even occur to me. I'm not self-conscious when I'm having a particular bad day or a weird, like a particular feeling. Like, I don't attribute any of that to the fact that at one point in time, I drank and drugged a ton. Like, that doesn't enter into the equation of my life today, not even a little bit. To me, that's what it's like to move on.
Yeah.
You know? But if you are in recovery, that's not the case.
Well, you're always chained to your past. You're always chained to lies.
Lies. Yeah.
A charade.
Yep.
A play that you're playing with characters in these various recovery models that diverts you from you.
Yes.
It's a charade with players and actors that distract you from you. I mean, think about this. Relapse prevention classes. I mean, holy shit, that's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, there's no disease, so there's no such thing as a relapse.
You know what doesn't have relapse prevention classes? What? Cancer.
Right. Right. Legitimate diseases don't have that's exactly right.
They don't.
They don't.
There's no classes to teach you how not to relapse with cancer because you don't have any control over that.
That's right. You don't pick up the tumor and place it inside yourself.
Yeah.
So you have all these things that you have to do. And that's what Bob, he was so bright eyed. And I've seen this
right
a lot of times.
Mark came in after the session and he was like, oh my God. He was because like, he's a different person.
When you coach people for 34 years, you see that kind of switch happen one in, I'd say, 100 people. And I've
Like an instantaneous switch. It's not the norm.
So when it happens and you're dealing with somebody that's on death's door.
Yeah.
As a coach, it's the most satisfying.
Oh my God. It's amazing.
Usually what happens is the person has small epiphanies of truth. And
right?
then all of a sudden you talk to them one week and they go, yeah,
I got it.
I got it fully now. I got it fully. But you see the progression. With Bob, it wasn't like that. He was hitting the wall. And then he went through detox, came out the other side, did the exercise, serious as can be, writing down this exercise that we do in coaching. And then he was like, that makes sense. And yeah. He's a pretty intelligent dude on top of that. So he was able to process a lot, I think, all at once. Maybe, you know, the truth is maybe he's been thinking about this for probably about 10 years. He has.
Well, I think sometimes you do.
Subconsciously, too.
Yeah. And with the people that I've coached even recently, you know, by the time they get to me, they're already like, you know, I've listened to some of your podcasts and I, you know, a lot of what you're saying makes sense to me. And I just still really like it.
Well, there's a learned connection between the physical sensation and what we color it with, our interpretation of the physical sensation. And if you don't break that down, and this is true with PMO, this is true with sex problems, this is true with relationship problems, the meaning that we cast onto relationships, the meaning and value we cast onto porn imagery, the meaning that we give the bottle or the heroin or the needle or the ritual or and then the meaning we give the meeting and the relapse prevention classes. And all of a sudden we're all so confused. And my job as a coach is to say, wait a minute, let's break down the meaning.
Yeah.
Why have you said this about an object? Tell me where that came from and why you're doing that. And what is the value you're getting out of that? And then they start to go, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. And if you pick away at that construct in their mind, all of a sudden it starts to teeter.
Yeah.
And when it shatters, there's just a momentum of truth that happens and it's awesome. So yeah, you can distract yourself and have diversions from making choices in recovery and be in a giant charade, a very expensive, depressing, disempowering process, or you can analyze things properly, whether it's with one of us coaching you or not, go through our workshops, we can show you how you are the solution to your problem because you're the one creating it.
That's right. And here's the thing I want everybody to know, okay? Addiction, the fact that addiction became labeled this disorder and disease right on its face was nonsense right from the beginning because people form habits, period. We all form habits.
Endlessly.
Yeah, and we all have things that we're attached to, behaviors, activities, people. That's the nature of things. Stanton Peale said that in 1980, I think it was, or was it 75? When he wrote Love and Addiction.
Yeah.
You know, he already was making that, like, what are we talking about here? Like, this is normal human behavior.
Right. Attaching normal meaning to things and ideas and framing them in our mind is what humans do. That's consciousness.
Yeah.
Which means you can change your conscious ideas about a bottle of whiskey or porn imagery or whatever it is that you're placing all this ornate sort of value into.
Yeah.
Now you've been taught through mass marketing campaigns, especially with the booze companies, drug cartels, and the porn industry, those are the big three, your whole life you've been gamed.
Yeah.
So it doesn't surprise any of us that you go down this path, you know?
No, it's really interesting to notice something too about smoking. Okay. Smoking for the first, I don't know, 30, 40 years, tobacco, they did the same thing the booze industry did, right? Yeah. They practically built tobacco up to be a health food, so to speak.
Yeah, like, their ads with the doctors smoking with the stethoscope.
Yeah, like, you know, this was the best stuff, right? Everybody, all the cool kids were doing it.
So smooth.
And it relaxes you. Well, it's actually a stimulant, but okay.
And it ain't smooth. You're sucking in smoke. It's bad.
Right? But now there was the campaigns went the opposite way, right? So now if you smoke, you're not cool, right? And so, you know, the truth of the matter is smoking is way down.
Yeah.
And it's way down. And most people don't get the idea that it's something that they need in their life anymore.
So the perceived benefits, the valuation goes down, even societally, culturally. Now, yeah, cultures where they still have it built up, like China, for instance, everybody smokes.
Well, yeah. Right? Yeah. So, Europe, there's still a lot of smokers in Europe.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's, look at you, people kind, I think sometimes people think that I'm not, I don't buy into that stuff, the marketing. Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Bob said to me in the 3 days that he had time between the epiphany and doing the exercise and then us having our session, he goes, holy shit, man, it's everywhere.
It is.
He goes, I kept telling the dude that was sitting next to me, do you see that? Do you see that? They're gaming me, man. They're gaming me. Do you see that in the movie? And he goes, it was on the hour. He goes, on the hour I was seeing.
Oh, the imagery is, especially with booze now.
Yeah, the mythology
is continuous.
Deep. Yeah.
And they took smoking out of most movies.
Yeah.
Like they took it out. Now, look, do I think that we should be taking all this stuff out? I don't care personally. I think it's important for people to know the truth.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it. The whole freedom model is essentially the truth.
The truth. That's, yeah.
All right. So you have two paths you can take. One is freedom. One isn't.
It's not.
One's a charade that keeps you tied to your past and keeps you tied to an addict identity.
And misinformation and lies and
distractions from yourself.
Distractions from actually changing your mind.
Yeah. Free will.
Yeah. And becoming free completely. So I don't want you to forget that we offer the Solution to Addiction workshop. You can go to thefreedommodel.org. It is the very first tab at the top. It's very affordable. It's a 3-hour video workshop that Mark and I have taught and recorded. There's Q&As in there. And you can, and some people have asked if we're going to do another live one. We're going to talk about that. We might do it later in the summer because now we can separate, because I know the solutions, we had a lot of PMO people at the solution workshops before. So we had those questions there, and maybe we'll do another live one with questions, more questions for substance users and split them up.
Yeah.
I was thinking that actually, we didn't even talk about that before. So I'm just announcing that to them now.
Yeah.
So we will let you know about that definitely, because I know people have been asking for that. But in the meantime, the solution is there for you. All right.
All right, everybody.
Have a great week, and keep an eye out in our group for announcements to come. And for the people that are visiting us for PMO, know that we have a new private Facebook group for you guys.
Yeah, check it out. What is the name of it again?
It is the Freedom Model for PMO and Sex Addiction Group.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a long name. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye.
Are you struggling with a drug or alcohol problem, but you don't want to go to rehab or group meetings? Well, that's why we created the non-12-step Freedom Model Coaching Program in 2011. Through video conferencing on Zoom or Skype, you can work privately with a certified Freedom Model coach from your home or office on your schedule. And here's the best part. With the Freedom Model, you'll never be labeled an addict or an alcoholic, and we won't tell you to go to 12-step meetings or hamper your life with endless recovery rituals. Instead, you can learn exactly why addiction isn't a disease and how you can solve the problem for good and move on with your life. Do you want to be completely free from your addiction? Do you want to never have to attend meetings, rehabs, or addiction counseling ever again? And do you want to solve your problem from the comfort of home? Then call us at 888-424-2626 to talk with a Freedom Model coach today and experience the Freedom Model difference.